Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to our third and final hour right here on My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment, everything pinballs, or pinball shouldn't be plural. I'm Jace with Lex and Dawn. Thanks for being here. We're going to do part two of Am I the Asshat in just a little bit, but got a couple comments about the last one on social talking about the family wanting to wear, or the guy that did not want to wear matching shirts to Disney. And somebody asked a question. What's the shell wants to know? Hey, what's the goofiest shirts you have worn at Disney? And well, like I said, Dawn and I, we didn't do matching shirts. In the big trip of the 10, when we did the 10 people, and nor did we at Christmas. But for Colin and I, I think the funniest thing, and it was crafty, so Alexis would appreciate it. Colin bought me a Disney dad t-shirt, and people thought we were making a birth announcement when we posted it.
But then
Colin got crafty and went to a craft store and bought a DY and ironed on and turned it into Disney daddy. It was our way around. Yeah, that was our way around that. So that was fantastic. But the Y is around in my armpit. It goes too far, so you can't really see the Y at all times. Anyway, what's part two?
All right. Am I the asshat for sending an invoice to my wife's cousin after she didn't have space for us at her wedding?
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa, I need some exclamation on this.
Okay. Well, he writes, he says, I own a printing company that I run with my wife. Her cousin came to us and wanted us to do some signage, banners, guest books, life-size cutouts for her wedding. We do this all the time for friends' weddings and events, and we never charge. We're happy to help out, and it's usually a fun time working together to make some really good stuff for their wedding. A few weeks before the wedding, her wedding planner tells us that they need all of the items by a certain date so they can set it up for the wedding. At this point, we hadn't received our wedding invitations and didn't even know when the actual wedding was. My wife texts her to clarify and asked if we missed the invitation somehow, and her cousin replies, oh, we downsized the wedding and we decided to have just close family and friends. And they didn't have space for us in their small venue. My wife and I were pretty hurt and insulted. And on top of that, we spent close to $2,000 on all the materials. Her cousin and the wedding planner kept making tiny revisions to the artwork, had us print samples to see how it would look in person, resized several of the items a few times. All of that costs a ton of time and money, and we're a functioning business, so we either had to delay other orders or stay late and print her stuff on our own time. So I went ahead and I billed her for our cost and said that we needed payment before delivery because I'm not going to chase her down for months or weeks or years after the wedding. We're not making money on it. We just charged her for the cost of materials. So far, we've gotten threatening calls from the cousin, her fiance, random family members of my wife's, and that I don't even know, some of the groomsmen, basically calling us asshats. After the harassment, I'm considering charging full price, or else we won't deliver the items. Am I the asshat here?
651-641-1071, 651-641-1071. Join the conversation. No. Look, it's always treacherous when you mix family and business and family and money, even friends with business. Believe me, friends and money and business. No. Business is business. And printing is expensive. You can ask our friend Stephanie Hansen about that. It is really pricey. And they did this. And also, if I listen to you correctly, Lex, she is basically just doing cost.
Yeah.
No, I mean, come on. And plus, it's really tacky to then not invite them. No, not the asshat. Not the asshat. Dawn, what do you think?
I totally agree with you. He's not the asshat, no. Especially if he's just doing cost. And if she can afford to hire a wedding planner, which I'm sorry, those are not just $200. Mm-mm. Probably the price of the printing, you know, a couple grand, something like that. Then you can pay.
Unless that person's working for free.
Oh, gosh. If they are, they need to rethink things. But yeah, I just that is so incredibly rude, you know. They should be celebrated and actually mentioned at the wedding, you know? So,
Lex.
Ooh, I mean, they made the assumption that they were invited, and I think that should have been the absolute first question, because if that's going to determine, of course, they're going to feel sad about it. Not the asshat. For sure, they're running a business. But it's hard, when you get your feelings entangled in that, because, how can you not feel bad about that? Mm-hmm. They're doing a good
pricey.
Job. Oh, absolutely. Like, for $2,000 is just the cost of materials. Yeah. They would probably normally charge triple that.
Yeah. You wouldn't believe. Printing is, oh, God, it's so expensive. Whether you're doing signage for a store or something like a wedding.
Or a cutout like they asked to.
It's bad. It's pricey. Let's go to the phone lines. You join the conversation. It's your turn now. 651-641-1071. Who do we have first, Lex?
Let's talk to Megan first.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm good. It was good to see you guys on Friday.
Good to see you.
So, according to Google, the average rate for a wedding planner is about $3,000. And then it says top tier planners average up to $12,000. So let's go lowball. Let's just say it was $3,000.
Yeah.
You cannot make that level of imposition on a family member and then not have space for them. I mean, it's absurd. And I think back to when I was married back in 1999, and we had to allot, we had like a little table in the way back of the room where the photographer and the DJ could eat. So we paid for their meal on top of, you know what I mean? I think it's incredibly selfish and just plain rude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. Megan, always good to talk to you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thanks, guys, too. Megan. Bye.
Bye, sweetie. Who do we have next, Lex?
All right. Let's go to Sharon Lee next. All right. Sharon Lee.
Hi, how you doing?
Welcome. Good, how are you? What do you want to say?
I think that he's definitely the asshat, because, the wedding people are rude and whatever, but he's an asshat because he didn't tell them right off the top, this is how much it would normally cost, this would be probably my cost on it, but I'm not going to charge you at all. If he didn't say that and show them how much it was, then he's the asshat for not doing a good contract in the first place. I've done that before, gotten caught, and I just swallow it because I didn't do my due diligence in the first place.
You want him to take responsibility for not asking the questions. Are you going to pay me for this?
Yeah. But is there, let me share, Sharon Lee, I absolutely, that's a great point. But can I ask, is there a level of grace that comes in when you're dealing with friends and family?
That's the grace. The grace is to make sure you got all your I's dotted and your T's crossed. You tell them what it is you expect, what it is you don't expect. You say right from the beginning. Because if you start getting emotional about things like this, you're wasting your happiness. Just swallow the darn thing and realize you can't do that in the future. Not that you won't do it, but you have to let them know what it is you're doing, how much it's going to cost, and what you're going to say. Hey, could you just cover some of my costs? And that's it.
Great points. We love you, Sharon Lee. Thank you.
That's, yeah. Thank you, Sharon Lee. Yeah, wow, that's a great point, especially if the cousin is seeing you just gift all of the printing to other cousins. Now, that's what he wrote here, too, is that that's what he normally does, and that's his wedding gift.
It's a phrase that I love. It's, I don't know if it's an HR line, but it's a friend of mine's, managing expectations. Getting out in front and managing expectations. It's a good point. Thank you, Sharon Lee. Let's give Jill the last word here. Hi, Jill. Welcome to the show. Who's the asshat here?
He is. And I just have to say, Sharon Lee kind of wrapped it up as to what I was going to share as well. So many of us are gracious and giving to people, and it's so sad that the wedding party took advantage of that. But I think we need to kind of protect our hearts too. And he offered it to the couple, so he has to be the one who's gracious and just give it to them. We can't control how other people act, but in the end, he needs to follow through with what he said he was going to gift them, regardless of how the couple treated him in the end, which is really sad, but it just kind of shows us we need to kind of protect ourselves, like Sharon Lee said, unfortunately. Yeah. Lesson learned.
Yeah.
What I would say.
Right, Jill, that's great points.
Thank you, Jill.
Yeah, you know what? And then in the end, gosh, wow, I'm really rethinking this because in the end, like, what is $2,000 in the end, right? Especially when, you know, you're getting all of this, these messages, and also, like, it's damaging relationships because what will they remember? Oh, you charged me for this when you said you were gifting it, and then...
Yeah.
And then versus being just, oh, you just, wow, what a great gift, and thank you, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
It's the, do you want to be right or do you want to have peace? That line, too.
Yeah. Yep.
Good point. Thanks, everybody, for joining the conversation. Monday and Wednesdays right here on Jason and Alexis in the Morning. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the big stories, headlines, news, dish, gossip in the Dirt Alert next.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
The stories, headlines, gossip. News that's fit to print, or in our case, mention on the radio. It's right. The Dirt Alerts. What do we have, Dawn?
Well, today we had word yesterday that in the midst of a trial with Twitter, Elon Musk is wants to now buy it again. So they were suing him because he offered $44 billion for the product for it, and then he started trashing them and... you know, said everything he was going to do and change. And then he ended up saying, I don't want it after all, but they had already gone through some negotiations. And so they're like, you can't just, you know, this affects our stocks. It affects everything. You can't just now not, you know, go along with the contract. So now that it's almost time for him to testify in this court case, he's now decided that he wants to buy it again at the original price.
He's annoying as hell.
It is just ridiculous. So, Twitter stock went up yesterday by almost 20%. But the deal is that he, you know, basically said it was trash after he agreed to buy it and started saying that all of those users, he wanted them to prove that they weren't just bots. He also wanted to change the structure of Twitter itself. And had all of these plans as far as like not banning people and just many things that he wanted to change. People were like, I don't know if this is going to be the same Twitter that we want. Either way, I don't know if they're going to let him. Do they want the offer now? Because that's what they were saying. They're saying you have to buy it now. So now he's saying I'll buy it.
I don't know if they want to. And if I'm working
at this point, yeah.
And from this and then his other, you know, the last time he tried to buy Twitter, to his recent comments.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
It's about Ukraine and Russia. Yeah. If I am working for that company, I'm like, oh God, can we please have a CEO that just does crochet? You know what I mean? Like just sits and reads Highlights magazine. Hookers are great. Yes. But just can we please have a non-controversial CEO, please?
That's true. But there's something exciting about Elon Musk. You have to admit, whether you like it or not. He says that he has a plan to create the Everything app. And I'm wondering what that means exactly.
You find him exciting?
I do, yeah.
That's interesting. Okay.
Well, just because of the things that he's created and
I used to feel that way, but the last year, his PR has not been good. And it's actually, anyway.
No, I agree. I mean, also, I mean, it might boil down to, are you still going to pay me what you paid? Or, you know, what is my role now? What kind of restructuring are you going to do? I mean, of course, there's, you know, all the different nuances in that. But,
He wants him to drop the lawsuit. He says, drop the lawsuit. I'll pay $44 billion. Yeah. Like, just get rid of this lawsuit. And, you know, who knows? It's
just... He is exhausting.
When people have ultimate power over everything, it's kind of can poison the well. I'll just say that.
Absolutely.
All right. So Kanye West, of course, his fashion show in Paris just happened this last week. A lot of controversy surrounding the outfit that he wore that said White Lives Matter on it, as well as the woman he had with him. So then there was this contributing editor for Vogue. Her name is Gabriella Carifa Johnson, and she, you know, she wrote an article about his line, his season 9 runway show, and she thinks it's very damaging to violent, dangerous, deeply offensive. You know, this is what she reported. So Kanye then puts up a pictures of her in her outfit mocking her style. So Gigi Hadid was not taking this lightly. She condemned Kanye for doing this and honored the editor. She's one of the biggest, you know, fashion editors out there. Now Hailey Bieber is on board with Gigi's statements, calling out Kanye and saying that when he posted these photos of Gabriella, she said, you wish you had the percentage of her intellect. She added, as if the honor of being invited to your show should keep someone from giving their opinion. You're a bully and a joke. So good job, Hailey Bieber. Ooh. You know, I mean, they're defending this woman who's just reporting. You know, she's just reporting on what she sees. And he is, you know, petty and kind of is mocking her style. He also said,
exhausting.
Oh, gosh.
My God. Yeah, they're both exhausting.
Absolutely. And he mentioned about his line this year. This is God's dream, a dream that can't be without the help of God. You know, I think God's doing other things. I don't know about you guys, but inspiring a fashion show. I don't know if that's where his attention is or her attention, excuse me, or their attention. I don't know.
No, they're worrying about the rainforest. And
yeah, hopefully. Man. But that's just one of those ridiculous arguments that's going around. And I'm glad that people are calling him on this kind of behavior. You know, this is the kind of stuff that Kim Kardashian put up with so long. Not only that, but just his control over her life. And, oh, boy, I'm amazed that they can parent together. Honestly, I'm sure they have their ups and downs, but good for her for, you know, for co-parenting so well.
Yeah. Oh. She has shown a lot of restraint. Oh. You know what I mean? That dealing with all the things, she could probably say a lot more than she's saying.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've learned that she has a lot of class when it comes to that. And here's a fun little story about Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan. They have a secret code when they text each other in order to sniff out imposters. So I guess that, you know, like Lindsay will say, hey, Jamie, it's Lindsay. And she'll say, prove it. And then they have this, they say that they have this rap song that they were both trying to learn when sitting in the car for an entire day together on the filming of Freaky Friday. So then if she knows that answer, she knows it's Lindsay.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just a fun little thing that happens on set and people become friends for the rest of their lives, you know.
Yeah.
Secret little language.
And doesn't Lindsay have, she's going to be on a Hallmark Channel movie or a Christmas movie, Jason?
Yeah. It's a new Christmas movie. And with the dude from Glee, who I really love. He's a country music star, too. But it's a Christmas movie. I can't think of his name.
Cord Overstreet.
Yes, Cord Overstreet. Yes, so those two. We're going to take a break. More of these stories at mytalk1071.com, TV Talk. And when we return, a family like no other. Hi, everybody. It's Jason live for Nutrisource, the official dog food of Dexter and Mr. Big. If you are looking to make a switch with your dog's food, make the switch to Nutrisource. I love them. I love talking about them every day. They're a Minnesota company that I believe in, and it's based right here. And I love the fact that you're keeping your money here and you're doing the best for your dog. Because no matter what stage of life your dog is in, no matter what kind of dog you have, no matter what size your dog is, there is a Nutrisource formula for them. We mentioned this earlier, but if you have a picky eater like we do, Mr. Big, they have kombucha, which is their newest product. It's a bone broth food topper that you pour right over the dog's food and boom, they'll start eating. I'm telling you, Mr. Big does. And it contains probiotics, so it's good for their tummy. Go to NutrisourcePetFoods.com, NutrisourcePetFoods.com. Make the switch today.
Thank you, Minnesota.
Let me know when you're free.
Al Pacino has a new deal. What is it? Alexis will tell you in just a little bit. But right now, welcome back, Jason and Alexis, in the morning on My Talk. And if you're not around the radio, don't worry. We're right now on your favorite home device that I won't say the name of because it'll activate them around the world or on the app. Take us anywhere. I'm Jace with Lex and Dawn. A little TV talk. I teased this earlier, so I'll knock this out. They announced yesterday that Paramount did. They own the rights to Frasier, the spinoff of Cheers that began in 93, ran for, I believe, 11 seasons. And they revealed that a Frasier reboot is coming, a continuation, and it's going to go on Paramount Plus. They bought it.
Oh,
now,
okay.
As is the case, we don't know a lot. They just released that, hey, they bought it, which is so funny. They must really believe in whatever they've seen, whether it's a script treatment or a pitch by Kelsey Grammer. But so all we know at this point is Kelsey's back. Great. Frasier Crane is back. He has moved from Seattle. And it might be about his relationship with his now adult son.
Oh. Okay.
And none of the other principals have signed yet.
Oh, David Hyde Pierce?
No, which is a little disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, he's half the show.
Yeah. Because a few years ago, you know, they always, just like anyone involved with a, especially nowadays with reboot fever, when you're involved in a successful show like Frasier, you know, you get asked on the red carpet, hey, you're going to do a reboot of Hee Haw or whatever you're involved in. And Kelsey got asked all the time. And I found an old interview of both David Hyde Pierce and Kelsey. And they both had the same answer. Similar. The answer was, we would be interested if it was a continuation exploration of the relationship between Frasier and Niles. Of the brothers.
Yeah.
But David is not involved as of right now.
Mm. So he's playing hard to get. He'll be back.
You think so?
Yeah, I would hope. Yeah, I can't imagine it without him.
I can't remember. Did you watch Frasier, Lex?
I love Frasier.
That's what I thought.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, it was, It's so good. And I'm hoping, because it's really one of those, you know, when you like the peripheral characters almost better than the main, just like on Will and Grace, you know, you'd like Karen and Oh, gosh. Karen Jack. and Jack. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would hope, but I think this is great. Now, if he's going to a new city and maybe there's a character that's kind of similar, we could still like it. But yeah, if Paramount Plus is this excited about it and they've already ponied up the money, there has to be a good script and a good idea, a kernel of something.
We hope Roz is back. I mean, you got to have Roz.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you watch it, Dawn?
And Daphne?
I loved it.
You did? Okay.
Yes, I loved it. It was like sort of like, I mean, this was on, what was that?
NBC.
What years?
Thursdays. 93 through 2004, I believe.
Yeah. So I had started radio by then when I was 19. And I thought sort of that was what big time radio was like. You know? It's just kind of like, I'm in this little studio working overnights at a, you know, at, you know, sort of office music type of a station, like a strict AC station, adult contemporary.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, wow, if I go with this career, I could be in a studio where there's somebody producing me in another room. And then I became that. I became the Roz, which is great, you know? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, did you watch it, Jason? Were you a fan?
I honestly was not. I loved Cheers.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a show that I disliked, but for whatever reason, it wasn't appointment viewing for me. But I loved the characters. I know a lot about it only because it was, you know, I'm a nerd and I was interested in Cheers. So I followed it. I followed the ratings of it. I followed, you know, it's still considered. Actually, I think it's number one. It's considered the most successful spinoff ever, as far as accolades and everything. I mean, if you count ratings, if you put the salad together of, and I did that on purpose, if you put the salad together of ratings and accolades, consistent quality.
Yeah.
If it's not number one, yeah. And did you know it was supposed to
37 Emmys at one.
Mm-hmm. And did you know it was supposed to be, this is what I love too about the producers, including Jimmy Burrows. It was supposed to be set in Denver. Did you guys know that? But there was an anti-gay law floating around. And because of that, they moved it to Seattle.
Oh.
In Denver, yeah. Cool. There was, the creators did not like that. So like, nope, Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And John Mahoney was only 15 years older than Kelsey Grammer, which still cracks me up to this day. But...
Yeah. And what a great way to honor him, too, because they can still, without him being here, they could still play around with remembering him.
Yeah, absolutely. So there we go. That's what we know. Paramount Plus, no date. We don't know exactly when. We don't know who will be involved, but
we're excited.
Stay tuned. One more piece of TV dish and then we'll break. And then Al Pacino has a new thing. Lex will tell you about that. But I watched, we referenced this yesterday at this time. I watched the sixth episode of Dahmer last night, and this was an example of what this show does well that other true crime dramatizations kind of falters on. And what I mean by that is, you know, the victims are just like numbers. You know, they focus so heavily on the monster that they don't take an opportunity to humanize the victims. They're just on a roster, obviously in a 10 episode series like Dahmer, you can't get to know every one of his victims, sadly, but this episode was so well done. They focused exclusively on one victim, and it was the victim of Jeffries, that was a man who was deaf. And you saw a lot of the episode. It was so beautifully directed. You saw it through Tony was his name, his point of view. So much so that with scenes mainly populated by Tony, the sound was taken out. So you really felt his POV. You felt his viewpoint of the world. And I love that the producers took the care. They also only hired deaf actors.
Oh, wow.
And the gentleman that plays Tony was so good. Tony Hughes was the victim's name. He was so good. It'll break your heart because you know how it's going to end. Luckily, they don't really show you a lot because you really fall in love with Tony and the actor who played Tony. And then Tony's mom, the actress that plays Tony's mom will kill you. I mean, just she'll knock your heart out. Just but it's such a beautifully, you know, it's weird to say a beautiful episode about a show concerning Jeffrey Dahmer, but if you can get to six, it's worth your time.
Can you remind me the interviews that you watched? What were they with Jeffrey Dahmer, the real interviews?
Absolutely. I watched the Inside Edition one, Dawn.
Okay.
I watched the Stone Phillips one.
Okay.
I watched the testimony of the man that escaped. I watched the Oprah interview from 94 of Jeffrey's dad.
Oh, yes.
Which was really good.
I think that's what I watched when I bought the book. Mm-hmm. I saw that interview. Okay.
Yeah.
Oprah interview with his dad, testimony of.
The testimony Terry. Of, I can't think of, Terry. Terry. And then the Stone Phillips, and then the Inside Edition interview with Dahmer.
Okay.
Both of those two interviews. The Inside Edition, or I'm sorry, the Dateline Stone Phillips was the final interview that Dahmer did with Stone Phillips of NBC News. But this is so good. If you can get to six, it's worth it because it really does put a human face on one of the names, you know, that you see in the list of the 18, 17 individuals that he took their lives. So Dahmer is on Netflix right now. We're going to take a break. When we come back, what's Al Pacino doing now? Alexis will tell you next.
I've never been a fan. And now on Jason and Alexis in the Morning, a message from our sponsor from like the 70s or 80s.
It began 11 years ago and would become television's most honored comedy.
Thank you, Frasier.
Next week, Frasier returns to Thursday.
Coffee tomorrow?
For its final farewell.
I'll miss the coffees.
With a wedding and a baby.
Isn't he perfect, Dad?
He certainly is, Mom.
And for Frasier, the love of his life. The series finale of Frasier. Starting at 8, 7 Central, NBC next Thursday. Da, da,
da. This has been a Jason and Alexis Classic Commercial. Da, da, da. We now return you to our regularly scheduled mediocre radio show.
Jason and Alexis in the Morning. Welcome back, everybody, on this Wednesday, October 5th, hour 3. Don't forget, the other hours are always available on our app. What's Al Pacino doing, Lex?
Oh, Penguin Random House, you know, the book publishers. Gave him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you need to clear your throat? Or are you? You got a little slam up in there?
That was okay.
Wrong. I wasn't going to point that out, Dawn. So that's, yes, letter. Lex, do it one more time, please. One more time.
An offer he couldn't refuse.
That was great, Lex. That was fantastic.
Oh, man. Well, let's see here. Al Pacino has closed a book deal. And, yeah, I guess they've approached him many times before. And this time he's like, you know what? Let's just do it. Okay. Why not? And so, yeah, he'll be talking about his life, lessons. Let's see here. There's also a book about him called Al Pacino in Conversation with Lawrence Grobel, and this was for 25 years. They would have conversations back and forth. So he penned that book. But this is the one from Al Pacino's point of view, growing up in East Harlem and the Bronx, going to high school at the Performing Arts there, High School of Performing Arts, training at the Actors Studio, and all of his stories about that, his early career. So he'll go into all of that and all of the different movies that he was in and relationships.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's Beverly D'Angelo. Oh, that's not Al Pacino. That's other one.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's been, who's been romantically linked to, including Diane Keaton. He'll be talking about all of that and his much younger girlfriend now.
Oh, yeah. She's what a just How old turned is she? 17 or something. She is really young.
Was it's he perusing proms or what's?
Yeah.
Well, he's 82 and she's the inverse, 28.
That's not true. You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding. No. I am not kidding. She might be 29 now, but
thanks, Lex.
He's still 82.
Are you a Pacino fan, Lex?
Well, I'm curious to see. Yes, I like his work, and I was really fascinated when he was when he took the picture with the Shrek phone case. Yeah. There's just something about
him. What?
Do you remember that photo that was taken? I think it was Jason Momoa who shared it on Twitter. Okay.
Yeah.
They were all having dinner together, and he had a Shrek phone case, and that amuses me. So things like that about him, but I am curious to see, you know, how he grew up and just trying to make it over and over and then finally getting the big. I love those stories regardless of who you are. So, I mean, in that way, he must have a story good enough that, you know, Penguin House is like, "Hey, here's a bunch of money."
For 9 years, a dangerous man terrorized women, breaking into homes and raping his victims before killing a brilliant young scientist in 1998.
The more the victims resisted, the more violent he became.
Then he suddenly stops, leaving police with a lot of clues and one unknown subject.
I'm Paul Wagner. Join me for Unknown Subject, Season 3 of WTOP's American Nightmare podcast series. Search American Nightmare Podcast on all podcast platforms today.
To be your best every day, you need proven quality sleep every night. Science proves your best sleep is vital to your mental, emotional, and physical health. And that's where the Sleep Number bed comes in. And let me tell you, ever since I've had it, my sleep IQ score is just going higher and higher. And did you know 8 out of 10 couples say that one of them sleeps too hot or too cold? Science tells us regulating your sleep temperature leads to higher quality sleep. For many couples, temperature struggles are a real challenge. So here are some tips to help you both sleep just right. Look for beds designed with temperature benefits, such as the new Sleep Number Climate 360 Smart Bed that actively warms and cools each side so you both sleep blissfully comfortable. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed. Plus, special financing for a limited time. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/podcast1. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Subject to credit approval, minimum monthly payments required. See sleepnumber.com for details.
Grab a 30-day free trial of Live by Live Plus, and you'll get unlimited skips, commercial-free music, and all of the podcasts and live streaming events you can handle. Visit livexlive.com/podcast1 to learn more and start your free trial.